This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to This Day in History, a podcast dedicated to examining history from a standpoint of determining which event on any given day had the greatest impact on our lives. Now your host, Tony Hubert and Armand Kachigian.
Hello, folks. March 28th is here on This Day in History, part of lineupmedia.fm. My name's Tony Hubert. My co-host is Armand Kachigian, and we bring you the events, the births, the deaths, all the big things that happened throughout the annals of history on this here date, March the 28th. Armand?
And a little sex.
A little. Just for fun. For flavor.
Yes.
Just to spice things up.
A soup song.
I do say, speaking of sex.
Yeah, go ahead.
This day in history of sex, I think, would be another good spinoff of our show.
I don't know what you're... Oh, yeah, I was going to say today, though. I don't have anything...
No,
so
but
I don't have anything remotely
generally,
sexy
if you
today.
Do some research, everything pretty much boils back down to...
Well, that'll be a spinoff. Yeah.
Like, for instance, why did the Spanish have a civil war?
Sex.
Franco probably wanted, you know, some babe, and he didn't work out. He got all ticked off. The next thing you know, he's invading the Basque country.
You're jumping ahead a little bit.
Oh, I am. I'm just giving an example, though.
No. If you want to go,
but
speaking of sex, you got Caligula here.
Let's start things off with your Roman emperor, your favorite. Well,
one of them. I love this guy.
Have you seen the film Caligula yet?
But I'm going. Yeah, I have. When it came out, I saw it.
Yeah, but that's been like 30 years, right?
Yeah, I just turned.
Well, hold on. You know what?
16 or something,
dude. That's been 37 years ago.
Something like that.
It was on early cable a lot.
It goes to show how old Malcolm McDowell is.
Well, it goes to show how well Helen Mirren has aged.
Yeah, you showed me the picture. She looks good, or she did look good. But
yeah.
I'm still a Pamela Anderson fan. Got to get the fake ones, man.
Really?
Oh,
that's,
I love it.
Armand, that's gauche.
Yes, it is. Gauche, well,
that's,
crass,
all right.
Coarse.
You admit it.
Savage.
So on this date, the 28th of March, your favorite, Caligula, well, he accepts the title of Principate?
I would say it's probably Principate.
Principate?
I don't know.
You would say it with a
some
hard.
Some use a hard C, like what, Cicero.
Would you say Principate?
I don't know if you'd pronounce the E.
I don't think so either. Well, anyway, he was entitled the Principate, was placed upon him by the Senate.
I don't know what that is, actually. I mean, the guy's already emperor.
Well, again,
so what's the difference?
Everyone keeps giving...
Pontifex Maximus.
Yeah, they keep giving each other titles. Well, if you're in charge, you're in charge. That's the only thing you need.
Well, that's when, you know, he gave his horse a title, too. So
yeah, he did.
Everybody had. Now, yeah, I don't know why you skipped over the next one I have is Pertinax is assassinated. The year of the five emperors, 193.
The year of the five emperors. And I got to tell you, Pertinax is one of the great names.
Yeah, it's a great name.
I've come across. It really is.
He didn't really want to be emperor, you know.
Commodus.
Commodus had been assassinated.
Now, Commodus, that's really the toilet.
No, that's not where it comes from. But
the commode doesn't come from Commodus.
I don't think so, no. But Commodus was kind of a toilet ruler.
Right.
Yeah, check out Gladiator, or actually a better movie, Fall of the Roman Empire, 1964, which is what it's based on, and it is better. This guy, Pertinax didn't want to be emperor, but they made him emperor, and then he goes about doing some pretty good shit. You know, he tried to increase the silver purity in the denarius, but then he went around trying to discipline the Praetorian Guard and to heap Ossia on Peleus. He didn't pay them as much as they should have. So you know what happens now. The PG stormed the palace.
Yep.
And that's it for Pertinax. And then we have, I think, was it Severus? Severus was the last one. Some other guy. I don't remember who took his place, but basically just bribed him. You know, he just bribed the Praetorian Guard, and that's how you get to be emperor. So that's
well, you could have done that.
Well, I don't have that kind of money.
But you could have.
Sure. I'd have been a great emperor.
You would have looked good.
I'd have been more like Caligula, though, than Marcus Aurelius.
The flowing robes, the sandals.
I don't have that aquiline nose,
I can see a marble bust of you. It'd be fine.
Okay. put my horse in the Senate.
Yeah, I'm looking all through Commodus here.
It's Commodus.
Commodus. He's a pretty decent looking dude. His bust is really good. But I don't see anything about I don't see anything
most
about
busts are pretty flattering when you're doing the emperor.
Yeah, they are.
You know, like Hans Holbein and Anne of Cleves. We went over that.
Yeah.
Van Dyck and Charles I. It's a pretty good idea to paint and sculpt
your
benefactor, yes, in a complimentary fashion.
Yeah.
Although, you know, we talked about that. Oliver Cromwell, paint me warts and all.
Good for Oliver.
Yeah. Anal warts.
Stop it.
All right.
Yeah, I got nothing linking Commodus to the commode.
No, of course not. That's stupid. All right. I don't even know where that comes from. But, all right, now you may proceed.
Yeah, yeah. Well, 1842, Armand, always the orchestral lover, opera lover as well. The first concert of the Vienna Philharmonic Orchestra is held. This date, the 28th of March, 1842, founded by Otto Nicolai.
Oh, this guy, and I didn't know this, but I like Otto Nicolai. He wrote music for Shakespeare's Married Wives of Windsor, and the overture to that is very good music.
How did Vienna become such a such a
hotbed?
Such a center for the arts. I mean, was it because
the Danube,
the river, and you're the seat of power in a large European empire?
But Austria, you know, Salzburg, Mozart, Schubert,
yes,
you got a lot of Austrians.
They had the Germans to the north. He had, you know,
yeah, well, Beethoven, of course,
Beethoven, Bach, and
yeah, Bach.
Bach.
Yes. But, yeah, why not? Vienna's a great town, I guess.
I've never been. Wien. Spelled with a W.
Correct.
W-I-E-N.
Pronounced
Wien. That's where we get a V.
Wiener schnitzel.
But hold on, Armin. I mean, this is no joke. That's where we get a wiener from, right?
Yeah, wiener, yeah.
Yeah, but we say wiener.
Well, you say it your way.
No. How many Americans do you know say,
wiener? How many people say Anthony Wiener? Right?
Carlos
Danger?
Yes.
All right.
All of them say Wiener. No one says Wiener.
Right. But we say Wiener Schnitzel.
But that's where we get hot dog from, Austria.
That's correct, yes.
Well, maybe not because it's not in the bun. They would serve it at...
All right. This is...
What?
Infantile.
This
is what is this?
Well, that's where do you get a Frankfurter from?
Frankfurt.
Where do you get a hamburger from?
Hamburg.
Where do you get a Berliner from?
Moscow. Gotcha.
Now you're being difficult.
Yes. Well, you're kicking a dead horse, beating a dead horse here, I think.
You know what JFK said.
Equine aside.
Ich bin ein Berliner.
Yes, I'm a jelly donut.
Today I'm a donut.
Yes.
Münchner, on the other hand, I'd like to be a Münchner.
I bet he got laid. Bring some sex into it.
What, in Germany?
Yeah, I bet he got laid in Berlin.
He dated a German gal in the 50s who might have been a spy, right?
Well, probably. Well, his old man. We talked about him sleeping with Gloria Swanson.
Swanson.
So he inherited.
It was her birthday yesterday.
Yes, he inherited that that gene.
1854, France and Britain, they declare war on Russia. This is more popularly referred to as the Crimean War. Always good to declare war on Russia. That ends well.
Well,
for most people.
Basically, this war was fought more or less over religion. The Ottoman Empire, apparently the Russians and the French Catholics, they had some kind of squabble over the holy relics. It kind of goes back to even the Crusades.
Really?
They wanted access to some of these holy sites. Well, most of the holy sites were controlled by the Ottoman Empire.
Yeah.
Also known as the sick man of Europe, because that's what they were. They were kind of, you know, lame. That whole empire was very weak. And Britain and France were afraid that Russia would exercise hegemony over the Ottoman Empire.
Sure.
So they joined up, of all things, as allies, because these guys hated each other. You know, French and British had been fighting not too long before that in the Napoleonic Wars.
The enemy of my enemy.
Well, yeah, but they're friends. And,
you
know, Lord Raglan, you know, when he talked about the enemy, he wasn't talking about the Russians. He was talking about the French. Yeah, and they're like allies, you know. So
all,
anyway,
all for relics.
Yeah, all for the Ottoman Empire. Just pretty up the Ottoman Empire, keep
genius.
Russia from blowing. Yeah, so two and a half years of war,
for
11 months, the siege of Sevastopol. But we got some neat stuff out of it.
What did we get?
Charge of the Light Brigade, great poem.
Well, no,
probably
that,
my favorite poem.
You got some art.
By Tennyson. You got Florence Nightingale washing her hands before treating people. That was good.
That was good.
That was a good policy. Mm-hmm. Rifled muskets.
If only she would have taught Typhoid Mary that.
Well, yeah.
Might have reduced a few deaths.
We keep reverting to our yesterday's lecture.
It's all history is connected, Armand.
And then telegraphy.
Yes.
Railroads. And, of course, all the Victoria Crosses are used from the cannon. Yeah, at Sevastopol, I believe.
And that's a Black Sea port.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's what they fought, 11 months siege. So they finally got it.
So when did they run out of metal? For the Victoria Cross.
There's not much in there. I don't know. Victoria Cross isn't that big. There's not that many people win it. So
that's true. They probably got another 100.
Don't worry. They got plenty. Yeah.
Another couple hundred
and
years
the way the
go.
British fight,
yeah,
you probably won't be giving many of them away.
Right. Right.
So anyway, but that it was, kind of Muslim. And now the Ottomans were Muslims, of course.
Sure.
So they had, they're fighting Christians, even though they're fighting with France and Britain, who are also
to them,
Christians.
They're fighting Christians.
So,
it's a holy war for them, right?
Pretty much, yeah. That's what I said. This had a lot of religious undertones.
What a great reason to go to war.
Sure.
Religion.
In fact, Lord Raglan lost his arm at Waterloo.
Did he really?
Yeah, he was a one-arm guy, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And we got Raglans, and, we got some nice cardigans. These are all Raglan sweater, I think,
yeah.
And a cardigan.
And a cardigan?
Yeah, Lord Cardigan. These guys are all Crimean War guys.
No kidding.
Yeah. So we got some nice clothes out of it.
Okay.
Sure, and only 750,000 people died.
Oh, only?
And as usual, most of them died, at least the British, most died from disease,
not
from fighting.
From combat.
Despite Florence Nightingale and another. What was a Jamaican lady? There was another. We always give the African-American. She wasn't African-American. She was Jamaican, so she's not African-American. But there was another nurse from Jamaica, and she was very.
No, I think you could say she
used to give the guys tea.
Yeah?
Yeah, the British.
If she was a descendant of slaves and lived in Jamaica, you could say African Jamaican or African.
There's no indication of this.
There's
she's
none,
from Jamaica.
Just
she's not African American. She's even if she was, she never was in America. So she's African.
No, Jamaica is in the Americas. I don't know if you're familiar.
I don't go with that crap.
What?
No,
what do you mean?
It's in the Western Hemisphere.
It's in the Americas.
So you're gonna call somebody an African American if they're from Jamaica?
In a broad sense.
Don't call if her, they don't have call her abroad.
If they actually have African,
lady.
If they're actually descendant of African.
She's an African or a Caribbean.
Okay, how about
Caribbean?
Caribbean African. Caribbean American.
I don't know. She's not an African American, though. So don't use that term.
All right.
I won't use that term.
You don't use it.
It's a stupid war, as most of them are.
Yeah, but you got a good sweater out of it.
But we got some good poetry.
And you can wear your cardigan sweater while you're reading The Charge of the Light Brigade.
And, by the way, the
smoking
British.
Your pipe.
And the British, they didn't like the French, but they weren't really crazy about the Turks either. So, your typical British, your typical Turkish soldier was used for basically slave labor to haul cannon around. If there's some mud,
right.
The British would get on their shoulders and have them walk them across and. Yeah, so that's what the British were. Yeah, that's what they use the Turks for.
Oh, God.
And I don't object to that.
Yeah, you as an Armenian
a Turkophile.
You don't have a problem with that.
Look, watch Charge of the Light Brigade with Errol Flynn.
Errol Flynn. What year?
1936.
Oh, 36. Okay.
Yeah, he just made it after Captain Blood. And
before
put him
Robin
in
Hood.
Oh, yeah, a couple years before Robin Hood.
All right. 1910, a gentleman by the name of Henri Fabre becomes the first person to fly a seaplane, the Fabre Hydro.
Sounds French to me.
Yeah. Well, and it's pretty cool. 6 years after Kitty Hawk, you got
a
guy.
I see an accent grave here.
Well, do you say
it's Henri Fabre.
Fabre?
Fabre.
Fabre.
You gotta take
Not
French.
Fabre? I got to ask my daughter. She's now very fluent.
Oh, well.
A+ in French
good.
At UCLA.
She should teach her father.
I don't speak French.
Your pronunciation is horrendous.
I know.
You're murdering the Bonaparte language.
I am. But to get an airplane to take off from a water runway just 6 years after mechanized flight is established, pretty good accomplishment. Speaking of flight, 1933, perhaps, and I don't know that everything is like set on this one in terms of the evidence, Armand, but perhaps the first airliner is lost to sabotage when in 1933 the Imperial Airways biplane, the City of Liverpool, may have been or is believed to be sabotaged when a passenger sets a fire on board.
Sounds like ISIS. Could be Al-Qaeda. I don't know.
Who knows?
Passenger sets a fire on board.
Any number of things. That's not a real good thing.
Yeah, that's not a real bright thing to do when you're a passenger.
Yeah, but any number of things could have happened to make that fire.
Yes.
In a biplane, I mean, probably a couple passengers in mail would be my guess in 33.
I don't know. And we still can't take fluids on there with us, right?
Well, you're not going to be able to take an iPad soon.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
Oh, they're finding a way to get the get explosives into the batteries on devices now.
So, like, what? I can take my Kindle, though, can I?
No, I think that's going to be... If you're an American, you can take it. Now, if you're from a Muslim country on a direct flight, no. And pretty soon that's...
Can't take a laptop computer?
Yeah, no, here's what I want, Armand. Let's just cut to the chase about flying, all right?
I want to nuke them.
You want to nuke the airplanes? What purpose does that serve?
No, I want to nuke the terrorists.
Well, you're going to nuke a whole bunch of other people with them, but that's a story for another time.
Collateral damage, that's acceptable.
Okay. Here's what I want for air travel.
Yeah.
Okay? I want you... Everyone shows up at
the steamship? We go by steamship.
No. All right. Can travel by air. There's a very simple and efficient way to do it. Travel... First of all, you take all the terminals in the airports, change them into locker rooms. Come in, take off all your clothes, you put on a white hospital smock. You go through...
You want to open with your ass sticking out?
If necessary. Right. If necessary.
I'd like that. I don't necessarily want to see your backside.
No, but
all right.
We go through security with no luggage, no nothing.
Yeah, no nothing.
It's just a body scan to see if anything might be in a cavity.
That's a euphemism. All right.
When you board the plane, we have a scene.
Cavities and all. Still in this smock.
Yes. They give you slippers on the plane so your feet don't get cold. Okay?
Good idea.
And a blanket, because the blanket, all that's fine. There is nothing in the cabin. Nothing. No carry-on. No. All the luggage.
No seats?
No seat.
All right.
Then we have a scene from Jonestown where everybody's given a cup of Kool-Aid. You drink it.
Flavor-Aid. We went over this.
Yeah, it wasn't really Kool-Aid.
They didn't drink Kool-Aid. They drank Flavor-Aid.
Grape Flavor-Aid.
Okay.
But saying drink the Flavor-Aid just doesn't have the same
meaning. I don't care. We strive for exactitude.
So...
Before you take off, everyone's asleep
wearing a gown, and then you get woken up when you pull up to the gate. That's air travel. No problems. Everyone arrives safely. No stress.
Very practical idea.
No worries.
Oh, sure.
That's how I want
it done. I don't worry
done.
Anyway. So what?
What do you mean? How often do you fly?
I used to fly like every week.
Okay.
I never had a problem with it. I don't care.
You didn't worry.
If somebody started, heading for the cockpit, I'm going to take him out.
Well, you're a wrestler.
Well, nah, right. And that's happened a couple times, by the way.
Yeah. That's pretty exciting. Well, but I don't want to be on that flight. I want that guy.
Don't worry. I'll protect you.
I want that guy in a white hospital gown, passed out in his chair.
What good's that going to do? Because he jumps in the cockpit, puts him in a chokehold.
He can't get up and go to the cockpit. He's passed out.
Are you going to drug them, too?
That's what I just said.
I wasn't paying attention.
You're going to drink the Flavor-Aid.
Oh, okay. I thought that was some
kind of... The Flavor-Aid contains a...
Hemlock, I thought.
No, it contains a sedative, and everyone's asleep for the duration of the flight. It's beautiful.
But what about the luggage, even though that's...
It's all underneath.
Okay. Somebody can put a bomb in that.
They can, but that all gets scanned independently.
So? If they can beat this scan, why can't they beat that scan? That doesn't make sense to me.
Well, here, then...
What if they put a computer in that scan?
Okay, you know what? No luggage.
Buy your damn clothes. How about no flying?
Because
just make the country a no-fly zone.
No, because the reason air travel is so good is because you can't blow up the air. The reason rail travel is so dangerous is no matter what you do to the safety of the train, anybody can get to the track at any location on the track.
These guys have these surface-to-air missiles and stuff, Stingers.
I worry about that too. Eventually,
okay. Well, if you're going to worry about all that stuff, forget it.
But if I'm going to
don't worry about it. What are your odds?
If I'm going to get hit by a surface-to-air missile, I'd rather be passed out in a nice, clean.
Okay, I'll prescribe you some Valium next time you take a trip. Go ahead, knock yourself out. Take 20 milligrams. Take 50, and then you'll have a real good trip, a long one. All right. Anyway, by yesterday,
we'll stay at 20.
We were talking about Queen Mary.
Yeah, Queen Mary, the boat.
It's not Queen Elizabeth's mother, by the way. It was George V's wife, who was Mary of Teck.
Oh, that's not
so
her mother.
I think
mother.
That's her grandmother. Yeah, that's her grandmother.
But related.
Because her father's George VI.
That's correct.
And the queen mom, remember? She died at like 137 years old.
Well, not quite, but
yeah, that
up
was,
there.
Sure, her name was Elizabeth II, wasn't it?
And that's the Queen Elizabeth I boat. Which
okay,
is
so
in
it's not our queen. It was her mother.
Which is in Hong
queen
Kong
mom.
Harbor, right?
Yeah. So yesterday, yeah, the Queen Mary is named after George V's wife, Mary of Teck.
The grandmother
right.
to your current English
right. we
monarch.
We said mother, right. Okay.
Good correction.
Now,
thank right. you,
Armand. Now, take a drink of Kool-Aid and proceed.
And one more before we go to birthdays.
Why don't you drink some Flavor-Aid before this show? It'd make you a little bit more amenable to logic and reason if you were half out of your
I got
wits.
Logic and reason coming out the yin-yang.
All right.
You
I'm
know.
I'm gonna order a psychiatric evaluation of you. As my,
I'm Section 8
my
all
patient.
The way.
Yeah.
I'm like Klinger.
You're having fantods. Night voices.
1939, Generalissimo.
Yeah, you already said.
What the hell's the difference between a general and a generalissimo?
That's a big general, right?
It right? sounds diminutive.
Well, like when... Well,
it
like,
sounds diminutive
no,
when you
because,
say...
No, because when you say... There's like in music, right?
Yes.
Okay, forte.
Fortissimo.
Fortissimo is double forte.
Got it.
Got it?
Got
right.
it. All right. So, very good.
Yeah, so
very
this
good.
Guy's no just general.
He's big general.
Right. And loud, too.
He's got a big hat.
I like the guy.
Anyway, Francisco Franco conquers Madrid after a 3-year siege ending.
You know what I could never
the
figure
Spanish
out
Civil
was
War.
Why Hitler never invaded Spain? Because technically, he's the one that got this guy a winner. Well, they made him a winner.
They trialed.
And then he was.
Yeah, and they
trialed. He's neutral.
So much equipment.
I don't know. Yeah, well, that was kind of. Yeah, it was kind of a rehearsal for World War II.
You would have had France.
But why didn't Franco? Franco was kind of. You know, he's a generalissimo, but he's basically a dictator.
Yeah.
I'd rather him had him on my team than Mussolini.
Than Mussolini.
Yeah, then you got Gibraltar.
You got Gibraltar.
You won the war.
You got North Africa.
The British
all
couldn't have gotten the
up.
Mediterranean. Yeah.
You got you exactly. You
so
have
I don't know why I didn't force him to
you have the 8-mile stretch, you know. Nobody is going from the Atlantic into the Mediterranean if you've got that locked down.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I don't know what his deal
that's
was.
That's very interesting.
Plus they had Morocco, because they have Vichy France.
Right.
So why didn't he just like, okay, screw you, I'm invading Spain.
It would have been
impossible. Would take it over like nothing.
It would have been impossible.
He didn't have to, though.
As like, for instance, have you ever seen the Rick Atkinson trilogy about the war, where the first part of the trilogy basically starts with the landings in North Africa?
Well, that's okay. pretty far along here.
It is. But it's from the American.
Operation Torch.
It's from the American perspective.
Of course.
Right. But he's an American author. Anyway. I think this one is this one an Army at Dawn?
Anyways, all right, what's the point?
The point is, to your point, there is no possible Allied landing to get troops into North Africa if he did exactly what you had said.
Well,
that's very interesting.
I never could figure that out.
Where the hell would you have
Franco
landed?
Franco was a natural ally.
You going to go down to Liberia or Ghana
you're
and work your way up? No.
Well, they would have taken over Malta, you know, because the British Navy is what basically say. Rommel would have, he'd have gone all the way to Syria and every, Transjordan, wherever the hell.
Yeah.
Nobody would have stopped him.
No, he would have had the Arabian Peninsula at his disposal.
His problem was, he couldn't get, because of Malta and because of the British Navy
right.
and the Air Force, but... If you got Spain,
right? It's very.
I don't know why Hitler didn't think of that one.
It's very interesting hypothesis.
Had to invade Russia, shit.
I commend you. Yeah, you'd rather have Spain than
Russia. I've never seen that. Have you ever read that?
I've never read a reason
because I've read all these books on how Hitler could have won the war.
I've
never seen anybody say, "Well,
I've never seen
ally yourself with
angle.
Franco,
right.
And give him whatever the hell he wants,
yeah.
just to join the Axis."
Yeah, I've never seen a Spanish angle at all.
Okay.
And if you know you're going to take...
I'm not a generalissimo.
If you take France, you know you've got them bookended.
Sure. He's done.
Let's go to birthdays. There's some good birthdays today. We start with a lot of beer flavor. 1836.
Here again, your choices are
Frederick
suspect.
Pabst?
Who cares?
Well, he's a brewer. Come on, Pabst, Blue Ribbon. The Blue Ribbon, Armand.
PBR, great. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's made a return. Hipsters love the PBR now. That used to be a poor man's beer.
I like it.
Look, there's nothing wrong with it. It's a nice, clean lager.
I'm drinking.
But it used to be a poor man's beer. I used to watch guys drink the pot.
You know, when you were in college, nobody drank Pabst. When you wanted
Schaefer's.
Schaefer wasn't even that.
Old Milwaukee.
Red, white, and blue.
Red, white, and blue.
Right. $4.50 a case.
Yes. Yes.
Red, white, and blue.
You're damn right.
That's say it. Rhinelander. You ever having Rhinelander?
No.
Ooh.
Is that a like a Wisconsin?
That was a taste bud killer.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Leave some fuzz on your tongue?
It would take it off. There left nothing on your tongue.
1899, August. Bush Jr., better known as Gussie Bush, is born.
They retired his number, right? What is it? What is his number?
82?
85. Why?
85.
Where'd he get that
I think
number?
He was 85 years old when they did the ceremony.
Okay.
I do remember that day. I was at the ballpark that day.
With the Clydesdale shitting all over the outfield.
Yeah, they usually, you know. But they brought him in a convertible Camaro, and they had a pre-recorded
pomp and circumstance in St. Louis.
They had a pre-recorded speech that he had done, and whoever was to play the speech fired the button way too fast. He wasn't even out of the Camaro, and it was really awkward.
Boy,
he
ruined a gala day.
He passed away not long after that. He was an interesting man.
That'll probably kill me too.
Yeah.
I'm not that interested.
Whenever he would come into the ballpark, it was like the Pope was coming. It was quite a to-do. Marlon Perkins, born in 1905.
This
remember?
Guy was the laziest bastard.
You got that right.
I'll tell you he was always
that
Jim.
Jim Fowler.
Jim Fowler. While he winds his way down the Amazon through the piranha-infested waters.
Jim Fowler risks his ass. Marlon sits there, takes all
Marlon's
the credit.
Marlon's trying to sell you insurance.
Yeah, Mutual of Omaha.
Yeah, yeah, he's doing the spot.
I met him.
A great gig.
I met him once at a camera place.
Yeah, I bet he was sitting down.
No, he had the whole like safari gear on. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah,
I was like 11, 12 years old.
Buck.
And I thought to myself, what the hell?
Yeah, Marlon. I think Millie Perkins was probably better.
He's here on the mean streets of Clayton, Missouri.
She did more for zoology than Marlon.
But boy, did people love that show.
I know, it was a big hit.
It was a big hit. It was.
Did you see Fess Parker died?
No, I did not.
Yeah, Pess Farker. Yeah, that's what Johnny Carson used to call
Pess Farker.
Yeah, Pess Farker. Yeah, Pess by a coonskin cap and everything. Daniel Boone.
1936, Mario Vargas Llosa is.
Who?
Llosa.
Never heard
two
of him.
Two L's. He's a Nobel Prize winner
give,
for literature.
They give that to
anybody. Armand?
Right, first of all, you missed several here.
Hey,
okay,
no, hold on.
Let's go back
to Llosa. He won the Nobel Prize for literature. I've read several of his books. The Feast of the Goat. Being probably my favorite, but here I'm going to recommend one for you. You're going to love it. He wrote a book called The Bad Girl.
Well, I like that.
And let me tell you, Armand.
Have you got it?
Armand, yes.
Bring it over.
She's not very good.
I like that. I'll get on my Kindle.
Yeah.
Get on Amazon.
All right. Now, what did I miss?
Well, I didn't even want to go over these next two. Well, Rick Barry.
I got to wrote 1942, what? Jerry Sloan, the American basketball player.
Who cares?
He was born, my grandfather owned a farm in McLeansboro, Illinois.
Must you make a personal?
Yes, I must. I must.
Right.
Now, Jerry was not born in McLeansboro. He was from a small little, let's call it hamlet.
Oh, yeah. A burg.
About 15 minutes south of McLeansboro called, get this, Armand. Gobbler's Knob.
I like it.
Now, yeah, that's where the name of a town.
Right.
Right? Now, he would go on to play at McLeansboro. His son, Brian, would lead McLeansboro to a Illinois state championship in 1985. Undefeated, 35-0. And now McLeansboro is a little town. This is kind of like the Hoosiers of Illinois.
All right, yeah.
Okay.
All seen the movie.
1944, Rick Barry,
ball
player
pretty
born.
Good player, yeah.
And now 1946, I'll turn the flow over to Armand to celebrate the birth of Hank Paulson.
Yeah, I'd rather celebrate the death of Hank Paulson. I mean, this guy... this guy runs contrary to every... First of all, the guy's a Goldman Sachs... puppet, okay, so he's Treasury Secretary,
fair,
right?
Totally.
Saves, why he saves AIG and Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae and all these other, and gives money away like it's nothing, and lets Lehman Brothers go down with the ship. What was that all about? You know, the only thing I like about him is William Hurt did a pretty good, you know, did you see the movie?
I got to
William
tell you,
Hurt did
the movie
good,
was
Hank
great.
Paulson.
And the times, the scenes were...
But that wasn't the Big Short. That was another one that was actually...
No, that was the HBO film.
Right, which is better.
I
like the HBO film myself.
Because the scenes where he or Geiger...
Because they're really talking about...
Is it Geiger or Geigert?
Which one? Oh, yeah, Geigert.
Would say, what are we going to do? And they'd be like, call Warren.
Oh, yeah, by the way, Waymo's going down too. Oh, really?
Call
Bear Stearns, they're going down.
Call Warren and see what he would do.
Now, what would you have done? I'd let them all go. I would have let them. Our economy wouldn't have crashed. The hell with them. Let them go. Look what they did to Bank of America. You know how much money that cost me? They made Bank of America take over Countrywide and all that.
Yeah.
And they're making these other banks take over.
They had the mandated mergers.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
With the envelopes.
Is that what the government's supposed to do?
With the envelopes. You're well, no, because
you buy Waymo, you buy Bear Stearns, you buy this, you buy that. Come on.
At that point, you know,
Yeah. Well, that's what the government's all about, I guess, right?
Now, no.
Brett, and just
no.
before this, I remember this guy saying, well, I think we've hit a low, you know, things like that. This is like 3 months before this happened. You know, the housing market's turning around.
That was in July of
'08. All he was was.
But by September, it was a full-on panic.
He's like the Irving Fisher of the Depression, remember?
Mm-hmm.
You know, prosperity's right around the corner.
Sure
and all
it is.
We've reached a permanent plateau. That was like a month before 1929, October.
Boom.
Yeah, this guy's the same way.
But I found it fascinating, especially in the movie, you know, that, you know, their strategy is call Warren. Call Warren. That's the strategy.
Buffett?
Yes.
And do what?
Well, remember, they
I got to watch that again.
You got to watch it because you're like, well, they need money.
Oh.
And they'd be like, yes. And we're like, why don't you give it to them?
These guys, man. Yep, nothing to worry about. Collateralized debt obligations. No, the banking industry is sound. Hear all this bullshit.
It's a hell of a...
Cost me a ton. I'm a virtual pauper now.
Really?
Well, I'm compared to what I was,
I'm sorry.
All right.
No, I am.
Hank Paulson.
I don't want people to lose their money.
I don't care.
Armand?
Yeah, but I don't care. Okay, I gamble. I lost. I had money in the banks.
I get that, but how many?
But, I'm not complaining, but don't give the TARP and all this other bullshit. Let them all go.
Don't
save any.
My devil's advocate to your point is, you know, let them go.
Yeah.
Is, you know, okay, what's the cost of letting them go?
What would have happened? What would have...
Well, how many people would have lost all of their...
Well, yeah, but that's the 1%. How many people? Yeah, a lot of rich people who got killed. Joe Average doesn't have any stock.
No, they don't, but they do...
Anyway...
There is institutional buying.
I want my freedom.
You know, there is institutional buying. There's a whole bunch of things.
Has anybody gone to jail over this?
No.
Well, there you go.
No, except one little bank. One little banker guy went to jail just for no reason. But
okay, so
I know you don't want me to say utter this hyphenated phrase.
Don't say that if you're gonna. That has nothing to do with this. I think it TDE. Is that what you're gonna say?
Well, if you remove all that money, I mean that
good deflate the money, deflate the currency.
That's a big
get it all.
That's
out of
a
there.
Big kick in the nuts to the
great.
To the economy.
It'd be great for the creditors. Deflation. I love deflation. These guys all hate deflation. What the hell? What's wrong with deflation? Your money would be worth three times what it's worth now. Instead of pumping in another trillion. Okay. Well, inflation at all times.
And American exports should theoretically skyrocket at that point.
Well, I would think something's going to happen. But
I mean, that's why the currency was devalued by Reagan in the 1980s.
Well, these guys all do it. That's the big thing. But I don't know who tells them to do this. Inflation's so good. All right. I think we don't like Hank. But yeah, happy birthday, Hank.
I knew that'd get you going.
And he's a Republican, right?
I know.
He's a Bush guy.
I know.
So don't accuse me of, you know.
I don't.
And we replace him with Timmy Geithner.
Geithner, that's the name
Timmy the Tit. Right. The tax cheat.
1948, Diane Wiest is born.
Yeah.
Nice actress.
Two Academy Awards for
Hannah and her sisters.
Very good. Hannah and her sisters. And I think Bullets Over Broadway, I believe, right?
She was good in that, yeah.
Don't speak. Remember that?
Don't speak.
Yeah. Two Woody Allen movies, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hannah and her sisters.
Michael Caine won
hell
for
of
Hannah
a drama.
And her sisters, too.
Hell of a drama. My favorite line from Hannah.
I thought it was pretty funny.
Oh, there's funny. Well, the funniest line for me in the whole movie is, look, what we're really in need of here is some sperm.
I don't recall that one, but
maybe I got the wrong movie, but that's.
I don't remember. Who said that?
Woody.
Oh. Weren't they testing? He thought he had cancer?
Yes.
Okay.
Sperm?
Yeah. Okay, whatever.
Well, they were trying to get, Barbara
Hershey.
What was
the one with Alan Alda where he keeps saying,
Crimes and misdemeanors.
Right, right. It's funny if it bends, if it breaks, it's not funny.
Not funny.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, crimes and misdemeanors. Another good turn by Martin Landau in that film.
Yeah, yeah.
Real
Landau,
good turn
right.
by him.
Although he won for Ed Wood.
Ed Wood, right.
Yeah. Michael Caine won, though, for
Hannah and Sisters.
Now, since we're on actors.
Yes.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say this is the greatest child actor of all time.
Okay.
His birthday, 1924, Freddie Bartholomew.
Freddie Bartholomew.
Oh, man, that kid was a great actor.
What was he in? What would I know him from?
David Copperfield, Captain's Courageous.
Okay.
Anna Karenina.
Oh, wow.
Little Lord Fauntleroy.
Damn. Okay, that one, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that English accent.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Little Mickey Lord Rooney, Fauntleroy.
Mickey Rooney was with.
Uh-huh.
In fact, Spencer Tracy.
That's a hell of a, that's, I mean, come on. Those are some big films.
Oh, God,
you just rattled
MGM,
off there.
Yeah, it was only second in pay to Shirley Temple.
Wow.
And Shirley Temple's just cute.
Freddie Bartholomew.
She couldn't act. This kid could act.
Okay.
So, oh, yeah, when Freddie turned on the tear ducts, oh, man. I dare any man.
Now, did they try to keep him young?
Well, yeah, unfortunately.
You believe there's a way to keep young actors young?
No, they weren't
young.
Giving hormones or anything, you know. But
Do you think that happens now?
No, the problem with Freddie Bartholomew was his parents kind of left him, you know. He was brought up by his grandmother, who he called his aunt, and his aunt, I believe. So I think his aunt took over.
Oh.
Well, is that the Tarantino thing? When he starts making all this money.
Oh, here come the parents.
Yeah, the parents come back. So, like, 1938, he had just made, I don't remember what, I guess it was Captain's Courageous. And, hey, mom and dad are back, and they want money. So he's got this huge lawsuit, and they're fighting in court. Cost him almost all his money in legal fees.
Was he able to get emancipated?
Yeah, but it cost him so much money, he really didn't come out with anything. And there was a big fight with MGM, because he thought he was a head honcho and everything.
And then, is this still Louis B. Mayer?
Yeah, oh, of course. Okay. Yeah, so he's fighting with Mayer and those guys. And, you know, by this time, he starts growing up, and he gets to be 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
He's not a kid anymore, so he goes to fight World War II. And he was never the same. But, man, I'll tell you, this guy, what a great actor.
Freddie Bartholomew.
Freddie Bartholomew.
All right, happy birthday,
greatest
Freddie.
Greatest child actor of all time.
1955, I don't really go for much country music, but I love Reba McEntire. Happy birthday, Reba.
Okay, she's innocuous.
Yeah, no, and
she's the uncritical.
Good singer as well, you know. You can't get upset.
She's not exactly Mario Lanza
or
Dame Joan Sutherland.
1958, Curt Hennig, the American wrestler, manager, and sportscaster.
Oh, I thought it was the Beverly Hillbillies guy.
No, no.
That's Curt Hennig too, isn't it?
It is.
Didn't he?
1959, Chris Myers, Fox Sports journalist, sportscaster, probably most famous arm on for peeing off a parking garage in Cleveland during the World Series. 1961.
Is he drunk?
Yeah.
Okay.
Byron Scott, L.A. Laker, been head coach for the Indiana Pacers.
Okay.
Nice guy. Nice player, too. 1970, Vince Vaughn. You a fan of Vince Vaughn?
Yeah, I like him. Big conservative.
He cracks me up.
Well, he's funny, too.
He cracks me
up,
man.
I like his politics.
Oh, shut up. Come on.
What's the matter with him? He's a capitalist. Sorry.
I'm a capitalist, too.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No,
there's different degrees of capitalism.
You're a communist. Card-carrying communist.
Not at all.
One of the 57 in the State Department.
Nope. Nope.
You're
there's
a spy.
No file. Armand, I've never been to a meeting.
Yeah. Not an organized one.
Not even a loose assemblage of.
You're Klaus Fuchs' gay lover. I know you.
You can't prove that.
I'm outing you.
You can't prove that. 1972, Keith Kachuk born.
What's with the silent T with this guy, huh? Where'd that
I don't
come
know
from?
What. It's got to be Nordic, right?
Get rid of that.
Yeah. 1980, Luke Walton born, son of Bill Walton, current coach of the LA Lakers.
All right.
And Lady Gaga born on this date.
All right, don't tell
in
me.
In 1986. What's can you get her name?
Yeah, it's.
Would you like a clue?
No. It's. Don't tell me. No, I'll get it later. I want to think about it.
You want to think about it?
I don't want to. Now, you forgot Raphael, 1483.
How can I forget
one
Raphael?
Of the greatest artists,
one of the greatest
architects of all time.
Mutant Ninja Turtles there ever was.
You know what happened? He had a little too much sex, and he
Did
died.
He?
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
syphilis.
He got a fever. Well, he got a fever, and he didn't tell his doctors about his sex, so they treated him wrong, which is probably just as well, and they killed him. So that's how he died, which is kind of neat. Maxim Gorky.
Oh, yeah, the Russian
author.
Now. Gorky's probably a fairly common name, right?
Well, yeah, it's a city, too, Gorky.
Okay.
I think he named himself after the city. That's
okay.
Not his real name.
That's how he got it. Because
to
see a Russian name just Gorky, you know, with the appropriate Y ending, doesn't that caught my attention, Armand. I was like, well, how come it's not?
Well, there's that Armenian artist, Gorky. Gorky.
Yeah, and so Gorky Park is named for who?
I don't know. Not him, I don't think.
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't know what it is. We'll look it up.
That was a good book and film, too. Speaking of William Hurt.
William Hurt, yep. And speaking of film, 1893, born Spiros Skoros.
Skoros?
Yeah, who was the head of, after Zanuck left, it kind of got, a coup.
Warner?
No, 20th Century Fox.
Oh, 20th Century. Daryl Zanuck.
Daryl F. Zanuck. Francis, the F stands for. He kind of got pushed out. Skoros took over. And, Marilyn Monroe called him Pappy.
I'd love it if Marilyn called me Pappy.
Call me Pappy, baby. Anyway, I'll be your pappy. So anyway, he made some pretty reasonably. He's the one that behind The Robe, first CinemaScope movie, The Hustler, King and I, Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. This guy, yeah, he's a head of production at
20th Century.
Yeah, and the reason I also bring him up is you didn't know this.
Where was the 20th Century lot at? Because the Warner lot, you can't miss if you're in
Warner's,
the valley.
Well, it's on Hollywood Way.
Exactly.
I don't know where they. I don't know where the hell. Is, well, they've all moved. You know.
Like I know. Paramount.
Culver
moved,
City was. Now they're in Studio City, MGM.
Yeah.
The only one that's still there is Paramount. The only one still in Hollywood
is in Hollywood.
Yeah,
it's right. Because
their
gates are right there.
Yeah. This guy's from St. Louis.
No kidding.
Well, he's born in Greece, but he and his brothers came to St. Louis.
Okay.
Opened a Nickelodeon. You know what? You know where that is. You know what is at their at that site.
Okay, so
it's on Market Street.
I was going to say it had to be downtown.
Well, of course.
And it's on Market. I'm going to say the Nickelodeon is where Tony's restaurant is.
Kiel Opera House.
No kidding.
Yeah. It's big Nickelodeon.
So Market and 14th.
I guess. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. There you go.
So that's always been a spot for the arts then. Oh, right. Interesting.
Nickelodeon.
Okay.
He opened the Ambassador Theater. St. Louis.
Well, that was a beautiful theater. They shouldn't have torn that down, Armand.
Yep. That was him.
That was my grandmother's favorite theater. She liked that better than the Fox.
Skouros Brothers opened that up.
That was a really neat building, and it was in disrepair for so many years.
Now, he also had a few misses. The
sure.
Big one, the big one. Liz and Richard.
Cleo?
Yeah. That was it. In fact, see, they pushed Zanuck out. He makes Cleopatra, and he's just bleeding money all over the place. Just $1 million to Liz
Taylor.
A
day, right?
Yeah, and then she has her tracheotomy, and she has to have to reshoot all her film. You know, everything went wrong with that.
Oh, man.
So, meanwhile, Zanuck, he's making The Longest Day.
Oh,
kind of on his own.
Another big budget.
That was a big bonanza. That made a ton. That's what saved 20th Century.
Also a good film.
Yeah. Well, Cleopatra wasn't that bad.
I know, but
Martin Landau again.
Longest Day had some great, the Bangalore?
Yeah, Bangalore tank trap or something.
Yeah, and then you push it under the wire and
and
you blow your
blow explosives.
Oh, those scenes were that was so cool.
That was also in The Big Red One. They used that too.
Yeah, they did. It was probably the best beach scene until Saving Private Ryan came along and just upped the ante, you know, into the stratosphere.
Well, yeah, but
so you got Gaga's name yet?
Maria Germanotta.
Well, Germanotta is correct.
Her last name.
That Germanotta. Is her last name.
Germanotta. Stephanie. Stephanie Germanotta.
Close. You would pronounce it Stephanie, but it's spelled with an I.
Okay.
Stephanie? Joanne?
Joanne? Isn't there Kinsella or something in
Angelina.
There? Angelina.
Germanotta.
Okay. Well, yeah. Got a couple.
I don't think you pronounce it Stefani. Which is how it's spelled, Gwen Stefani.
No, she's someone else completely. Oh, yeah, and speaking of which, here's one. Giuseppe Berardinelli. Berardinelli. Now, I didn't know this was the guy's real
Dinelli.
Name. Giuseppe Berardinelli.
Dominic De Coco.
Now, who do you
That's
know?
That's from Inglourious Basterds.
This is from Joey Maxim.
Oh.
You know who Joey Maxim is?
A little bit.
Boxer. Only man to knock out Sugar Ray Robinson.
No kidding.
Yeah. But that's, I was just going to discuss this. I think we've talked about it, but it's one of my favorite boxing stories.
Yeah.
It's June 25th, 1952. Joey Maxim's the light heavyweight champ. Sugar Ray takes him on, right, for his title. It's like 170 degrees outside. I mean, it is really hot.
And they're fighting
they're
where?
They're fighting outside.
Oh, okay. Is this like a Yankee Stadium fight?
Well, I'll look it up, but they're outside.
Your choices back then were basically Chicago, Comiskey Park, Detroit, Cleveland, or New York for title fights.
I don't know. They were fighting all over Shibe Park and everywhere else.
Yeah.
You know, what's his name?
Oh, Philly. Yeah, Philly would have big fights.
Griffith Stadium.
That's
where I think LaMotta fought a couple of fights. Anyway, so everybody's passing out, including Ruby Goldstein, the referee.
I love it.
Yeah, that's a great name for a ref.
Ruby
so he's
Goldstein.
Out. Yeah. He can't.
It would have been funny if Sugar Ray would have counted to 10 on him, and then
Sugar Ray wasn't counting anything. he just couldn't come out the 14th round. He was winning the fight, but it's like I've had it. So he had heat stroke, and they took out. Now Joey Maximum, it really wasn't the same after either. I mean, it really took a lot out of both of them. But fought a guy named, what's the guy's name? Miller, I think his name was. Anyway, he beat an Englishman for the title. Yeah, here it is, Freddie Miller. I wrote it down.
Freddie Miller.
He beat Freddie Miller for the light heavyweight title.
Oh, wow.
And after the fight, they found three of Freddie Miller's teeth in his glove.
In his glove.
Yeah, that's how hard this guy punched. And Miller never fought again, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah, so this guy was a puncher.
Mm-mm-mm.
Joey Maxim.
All right.
They called him Joey Maxim because he was machine gun jab.
Ah.
You know.
But so that's happy birthday to who?
Giuseppe Berardinelli.
Berardinelli. All right. A couple more events that happened on this date. In 1959, on March 28th, the People's Republic of China, they go ahead and dissolve the government of Tibet.
Good idea.
That's been in conflict ever since.
We don't need that.
1978.
You still see those bumper stickers?
Free Tibet?
Yeah.
Sure.
It's not going to be freed, okay? Get over it.
Well, you can hope.
What
did a Tibetan ever do to you, Armand?
Nothing. Yeah. Well, you know.
Don't they deserve
their own
homeland?
They got half of Mount Everest. What do they want?
No, they don't. China has
Everest. We had a trivia contest, and the dumbass said, you know, what the border of what two countries?
Yeah, China and?
Well, this guy said it was India and, or Nepal and Tibet.
China and Nepal.
Right, there's no Tibet anymore, dumb shit.
You probably stood up and said
that's exactly
that,
what I said.
Attaboy. Shame those people.
Fists were thrown.
Shame those people at trivia nights.
All right, listen.
78, the U.S. Supreme Court hands down a 5-3 decision in Stump versus Sparkman.
It's a good name for a case.
Well,
I gotta admit that.
Now, I think Stump versus Sparkman is especially a good name for a case involving involuntary sterilization.
What's that all about? You read on
judicial
this?
Immunity.
Yeah, it's very, very aptly named, but what are they talking about here? Why were they sterilizing Mr. Stump?
No, involuntary sterilization had been going on.
Where?
Well, all over the United States for all sorts of reasons.
What, retardation and stuff?
Yeah.
Well, I don't necessarily object to that.
Yeah, but it's involuntary, so it's a rights issue.
Okay, everything's voluntary in this country, right?
Well, not everything.
Well, I don't know. You think if you have some sort of, I don't know about that one. That's a tough one.
That's a tricky one because
you're laying because the result is going to be a burden on society. Here we go. We're talking about health care and you're going to give people health care.
For instance, are you opposed to two Down syndrome people having a child?
Yes.
You are?
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm not. But.
You know,
this is a tricky one.
I'm not opposed to aborting a child that is Down syndrome.
I mean, call me
a liberal crazy man, but, if they're going to have, or a disease that we know is they're going to live 3 or 4 or 5 years and be dead, I'm not opposed. I'm not saying it's mandatory.
No.
But I'm not opposed to it.
Right. Is that the special exemption you would want? If Roe v. Wade was indeed overturned, would that be a carve out perhaps for you?
You know me. States' rights.
It's tough,
man. Let the state decide.
Yeah, but
it's not a federal
issue. Then you're going to have 50 different versions.
That's
and
right.
You'll just
exactly.
Travel. That's not what the anti-abortion crowd wants. They want a federal lockout. 1979, a coolant leak at Three Mile Island.
Yeah, this is overblown bullshit.
I don't think so, Armand.
Oh, come on. Nobody died from this.
No,
very low levels
of
radiation.
I understand.
Okay.
I understand.
Okay.
Movies like China Syndrome were very popular back then. I did a soccer game in Harrisburg once, and we arrived at night.
You're still alive?
I am. I arrived at night.
Case closed.
And in the morning, we opened the windows to the hotel, and we had a beautiful view of the cooling towers at Three Mile Island. And then we went out after the game that night, and I called home, and I said, you can definitely tell there was a radiation leak here about 1979.
How?
The people.
Oh, get out of here. Yeah, right. See, now, why don't you just abort them? See?
No, they were just slightly.
Yeah, well,
and then
Boeotian.
And then someone said, Tony, you're in Pennsylvania.
Oh,
and I said, yeah, I'm in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
He goes, no, you ever heard James Carville?
Oh, yeah. Now, are you going to quote him again?
Philadelphia on one end, Pittsburgh on another, Alabama in the middle.
Yeah, that's good coming from a guy that actually probably comes from crocodile semen down in the bayou.
From James Hill.
Yeah, James
no
Carville
doubt.
Of all people. Yeah,
no
right.
Doubt. Yeah.
He's so cosmopolitan.
Finally, 1990. Nice deal by George H.W. Bush, President Bush 1, as we lovingly call him. He posthumously awards Jesse Owens the Congressional Medal of Honor.
No, Congressional Gold Medal. You have to be
the Gold Medal. Yeah, I'm sorry, the Congressional Gold Medal, not the Medal of Honor.
That's for civilians, I guess, or track stars. I don't know who they give that to.
Very good, though. Very good.
What was the point of that?
Because Jesse got slighted, man. He was very important.
Why did he get slighted? He got four gold medals. What are you...
You know
got,
what?
Got to shake, got to shake what, Hitler's hand.
By the way.
Which he did. Hitler did not leave the arena.
There's a whole bunch of overblown stuff about, you know, Hitler and... Yeah, and I'm not... This is not a defense of Adolf Hitler.
but, it couldn't be.
But if you will pick up a German book, which I have, about the 36 games, the story from the German perspective is radically different than the one you've heard here.
Well, yeah, he didn't leave the stadium.
Did not.
Right. He was there. I think he was acknowledged him and shook his hand.
Acknowledged, applauded.
Right.
Yeah, now, so. Whether the applause, who knows?
As long as it wasn't a Russian communist.
Or if it's for the cameras, I don't know.
It wasn't
now,
a Jew.
One of the great things, I've been at that stadium for a World Cup match, and they've sort of redone it and things like that. However, all of the medal winners are carved into stone at the torch entrance to the stadium.
What, from 36, you mean?
From 36, yeah. And nice. You see Owens. Now, Owens' name appears three times on that list, not four, because for the relay, they did not carve in the individual names of the four relayers. Not enough space. They put the country. But you do see Owens, then, you know, other names.
Well, I guess you would probably see Jackie Robinson's brother, too.
I think you do.
I think that's who we got second.
So it's pretty cool to see that, you know, and, you know, it's there just as it was carved in 1936. And the stadium is mostly, almost exactly the same, except they have sort of a roof over the seats now. You know, it's still open stadium. And the grounds of it have all the markers.
Right. And Hitler applauded and shook his hand. And echoing, what's his name?
Well, you really are walking in the annals of history, though, when you're in that place. It's really something.
And then he was, who was the guy? Thanks, Fuhrer.
Oh, that's coming up.
Does he say thanks,
no,
Fuhrer?
No, he doesn't say, but thank that.
Thanks, King.
That gentleman's coming up.
God damn, who said that?
Well, Jim. He died on this date, Armand.
He did?
Yes.
I'll be damned. Jim Thorpe.
How about that? Yeah, we'll get to it in a
just
second.
Just a coincidence.
So there you go.
Thanks, dictator.
Let's go to finish up the show with who died on this date. 1584, Ivan the Terrible.
You know, he had his moments. He was a very devout Christian, by the way.
Yeah.
Apparently, he used to bang his head against icons and stuff when he screwed up.
As a
penance.
Sort of a penance?
Yeah, he had a big bulge on his head, apparently.
Did he really?
From clunking his head against it, yeah.
But so then he'd go and commit another atrocity.
Yeah, he'd kill somebody.
1941, Virginia Woolf passes away.
Nutcase. Goofball.
1953.
She killed herself.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. 1950.
Nah, no big loss.
Did you like Mrs. Dalloway?
No.
No? I liked it. I thought it was a good
like
book.
Virginia. I don't like
1953, you were just talking about him. Jim Thorpe.
As portrayed by Burt Lancaster.
Yeah.
Jim Thorpe, All-American.
It's a good portrayal, I thought.
Betrayal? Jim, oh, portrayal.
Portrayal.
You said betrayal.
Yeah. No, he didn't. Yeah, he didn't.
Okay.
But yeah, thanks, King, at the Stockholm Games of 1912. Yeah,
and he also, Eisenhower blew out his knee playing football against him. When he was playing for Carlisle.
Eisenhower played at Carlisle.
No, Eisenhower played at West Point.
West Point.
Carlisle
was Thorpe's.
Yeah.
Where was Carlisle at?
Oklahoma.
Ohio? Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Oh, was it a...
Indian. You know, well, Native American.
Yeah, but Thorpe had Native American heritage.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of it. Speaking of Eisenhower... He would pass away on this date in 1969.
Yeah, we've talked about him enough. Yeah.
Yep. 1958, W.C. Handy passed away. Famous song by W.C. Handy, Armand?
St. Louis Blues.
1985, Mark Chagall passed away.
Born in Vitebsk, Russia, Jewish.
Do you have a favorite Chagall?
Yeah, I like I and, what was it called? I and the Village, I think it was called.
I love.
Paris Opera House, he painted the ceilings, like 200 square meters.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
At the Art Institute in Chicago, I love the Chagall windows. I think they're gorgeous. Most people know him from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. There's a little scene where they go all throughout the art museum when Ferris and his girlfriend are kind of sharing a moment. They're doing it in front of the Chagall windows. The other big moment is Cameron in front of Sunday in the Park by George Seurat.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a great tribute.
Seurat.
It's a great tribute to the Art Museum or the Art Institute of Chicago.
Well, you know what Picasso said? When Matisse dies, Chagall will be the only painter left who understands what color is.
Oh, he sure does understand color.
Yeah, he's pretty vivid stuff.
2004, Peter Ustinov passes away.
And he won two. I think he won two Academy Awards. Two. Best Supporting, yeah.
Both in the Best Supporting role.
Spartacus.
Yeah,
he was Lentulus Podiasis, the guy that ran the Gladiator School.
Yeah, who's kind of portrayed again in Gladiator,
yeah,
right?
Well,
but because gladiators went to Gladiator, they had schools,
right,
they had
pampered.
A patron, a sponsor,
they're trained.
Would you call the guy who basically recruited and
what the hell?
They had a title,
Batista or something like that. I don't know that. Yeah. But that's what he won for. And then he won for Top Copy, I think, in 64.
Top Copy?
Yeah, caper movie.
Oh, it is?
Yeah,
watch it. Yeah. I love a good heist movie.
Yeah, not bad.
And 2006, Caspar Weinberger passes away, the 15th U.S. Secretary of Defense.
Yeah, okay. I like him.
Yeah, I thought you might.
I know. Well, I got a couple here you forgot.
Who else died?
1943, Sergei Rachmaninoff, who... One of my favorite
composers. I did miss that one. That's a miss.
Yeah.
Favorite Rachmaninoff piece?
Second piano concerto. Okay. Although one of my repertoire of piano pieces, I play his Prelude in C sharp minor, which is probably the most famous.
Are you able to play in different keys easily?
No, I can't transpose.
See,
I have no talent whatsoever.
I have a buddy who can do it flawlessly.
Well, he's got a talent.
I said, how do you? He goes, you just shift everything up, and I'm like.
Yeah, it's that easy, huh?
And I'm like, okay, it's that easy for you. Wow, that's a gift.
Yeah, we talked about this guy, I think. His first symphony was kind of a disaster because Glazunov was the conductor and he was drunk.
That'll do it.
Yeah, rehearsing.
Timing can be a little wonky.
It didn't redound.
What do you think
an
orchestra member thinks when they look up at a conductor who's
clearly
off?
I don't know what these guys
off.
Do because, you know, they have these symphonies with no conductors.
Right.
They do fine, so whatever. I don't know.
But seriously, I mean, if you're
unless it's Leopold.
Leopold.
Right. Anyway, so that didn't go well. So he goes in his bouts of depression. And then Dr. Nikolai Dahl, his psychiatrist, shakes him out of it. And
how'd he shake him out of it?
He did a little therapy. Who knows
what kind of therapy?
Sex. You know, the psychiatrist is all, you know, I hypnotized him and told him his mother.
It's all repressed memories about your mom.
Him. Yeah. Oedipus complex. Got all that ironed out. So anyway,
you didn't know you had an Oedipus complex until you came to see me.
He told him how abused he was as a child. So anyway, then he wrote the Piano Concerto No. 2, which he dedicated to Dr. Dahl.
You want to hear it?
I'd love to hear it.
Okay, hold on. Give me a second here.
I think we're running a little late here. Yeah, probably when C-sharp minor, a piano concerto. I mean, Prelude in C-sharp minor.
You want number 2, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, you remember Eric Carmen? You know Eric Carmen.
I know the name. I'll tell you that.
Well, yeah, right. And that wasn't he with the Raspberries, right? That band? He stole a couple of this guy's All By Myself. That's a Rachmaninoff tune.
Hey, Andrew, can we have a little volume on our input? Now,
that's the
pianist here is Anna Fedorova.
Fedorova.
Do you know her?
Anna Fedorova. Yeah, I know her. I like Evgeny Kisim better. First movement.
How long does a movement take?
This one? 15 minutes.
What's the best part of
the whole thing?
No. It's 20.
The third movement, but they're all good.
Here, I'm going to skip ahead.
Well, play the second movement because you'll recognize.
Yeah, it doesn't deal in eight, though.
Yeah, see?
Oh, that's. I
all
did.
All By Myself by
good.
Eric Carmen.
I hit it.
Where do you think he got the. That's the tune.
He got the melody.
Yes. He stole it from Rachmaninoff, and he also stole a tune from.
If you're gonna steal from the best.
From his second symphony. Never Gonna Fall in Love Again. Remember that song?
Yes.
That's Rachmaninoff. Oh. That melody is from the second symphony.
Yeah, beautiful piece.
All right.
Yeah,
and
well
the
done.
Last
Arlen.
One.
Well done.
One of my favorite authors.
Yes.
1944, he died. Stephen Leacock.
Cock.
This guy, Jack Benny and Groucho love this guy. He's hilarious.
Okay, hold on.
He's
I gotta look this guy up then.
Not only that, he's a brilliant guy. He's a Canadian.
Spell cock for me. C-O-C-K or?
L-E-A-C-O-C-K. Yeah, Stephen Leacock.
L-E-A.
Right. He's very popular in his day. In fact, they say he's from Canada. More people know Stephen Leacock than they know what Canada is. A lot of people wrote him. Groucho and Jack Benny loved him. boy, he's funny. And he's also a political and economic scientist, took political economics.
Anything I can play?
Studied under Thorstein Veblen, who's everybody's...
Thorstein
Veblen, yeah. Everybody's favorite anti-capitalist, conspicuous consumption jerk, but smart, you know, your typical pedantic moron. But Stephen Leacock...
Your typical...
Stephen Leacock had his shit together. Anyway, funny guy. Read any book by him. That's our pick for today.
There you go. Well, go to thisdayinhistory.com, thisdayinhistorypodcast.com. Click on the Amazon banner. And, yeah, indeed, search Stephen, S-T-E-P-H-E-N-L-E-A-C-O-C-K, Stephen Leacock, and pick up one of his works from Amazon.com. All right, Armon.
Yep.
I'm in the books. Are you?
Yep.
You're good? March 28th.
We're done.
We put a big ribbon and a bow on that one, folks. That'll do it for today's edition of the podcast. Thanks to producer Andrew Allen and Brian Kroc. And we'll be with you tomorrow on March 29th. Don't forget, sign up and subscribe at iTunes, Stitcher, or Podbean for This Day in History podcast. Any major podcast outlet will do. And if you would, please leave us a 5-star review. And again, follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/thisdayinhistorypodcast. For Armon Kachigian, I'm Tony Hubert, and when March 29th rolls around, we'll be right here to tell you about it on lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.